Right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a big, fat, boring episode of Doc Who Pod. I am your host, Josh. Joined with me, as always, is Jack Phillips.
Hello there.
And helping us out, as always, is Bradley Fuller.
Hello.
Now, this week, we'll obviously run through the news a little bit. We've got very special guests or guest Doctor Who chronological coming on the show. And then we're reviewing the wet fart of an episode that is The End of Time, Part 1 and 2. I think I've sort of revealed my hand a little bit early on there. But JP, do you want to let us know what you think in a sentence?
Yeah, you kind of jumped the gun a bit there, but fair enough.
Here we go. Cue the 2 minute pause.
It was a bit long.
It was very long. Bradley?
Perfect ending for the perfect doctor.
Okay, I am intrigued to hear how you're going to defend this episode so vehemently. But shall
very
we
easily.
Fly on over to Who News and see what's cooking over there?
Yeah, let's go.
Left a little gap there. Who News this week? Again, not a massive amount. I guess we could think, have we actually mentioned the proms since we've been on, or is that just mentioned in the...
No, we spoke about the proms
segments.
Last week.
Oh, we did already speak about it. In that case, there's fuck all there.
Brad's time travel to a week ago.
I thought it was in the thing that you spoke about it with, what's his name?
It was.
Yeah, it was with
it
with
was
Matt,
also in the news, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. There's nothing then. Has anyone else just seen anything?
And that concludes another fruitful news.
JP,
you can't make news if it's not there. It's either there or it isn't.
No, I don't have anything, I'm afraid. No. What about you? Anything, Josh?
Yeah, clutching at straws a little bit, but obviously last week I announced that... Criminal Record is coming back for a series two. Peter Capaldi news.
News, is it?
Peter Capaldi news.
Nobody cares about him.
And this week,
on about him.
No, this is even more related to Doctor Who. Another Peter Capaldi series has just been renewed for series two and three. The Devil's Hour on Amazon Prime. Did either of you watch it?
No, of course you didn't.
Well, it's Peter Capaldi, it's time travel, and Stephen Moffat was one of the producers. I would 100% recommend giving it a watch. Creepy as fuck. And just renewed for series two and three from memory.
Nice one. Let's rename this Peter Capaldi, shall we?
No, it is odd that there's been two back to back, but it's Doctor Who related.
Brilliant. Nice.
I also just want to give a very quick shout out to Adam Pickett. He messaged us when we sort of took a break from doing this for a while. I just completely didn't see it. Like, I check the messages on Instagram pretty regularly. And yeah, just totally missed it. So Adam Pickett, you asked us if we were coming back. We're still thinking about it.
You're about taking another break, to be honest.
Other than that, that's all the Who news I've got. I do just want to throw it out there because there's probably quite an overlap on this podcast. And this other show that I'm about to talk about. Official trailer for the last Grand Tour episode dropped today. Have you seen it yet, boys?
What's that got to do with Doctor Who at all?
I imagine it's British BBC. BBC.
I mean, they're on Amazon Prime now, but yeah, sure.
Not saying it. Yeah, it's not BBC at all.
Brad, have you ever been into Top Gear Grand Tour?
Not massively. Like, I watch the specials, but even then, I'm not like I'm not the biggest fan of it, to be honest. It's
really?
Good. It's just, I don't know, I just can't get into it as much as you guys do.
JP, did you shed a tear at the trailer like me?
I've not seen the trailer today, no.
Oh, have you not?
I'm not seeing it. No, I've not seen it. I saw the teaser trailer they released last week before?
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
What are they actually doing?
They're going to Zimbabwe.
It's just their last ever one last ride.
But you know what?
To Zimbabwe or?
Yeah, so it's the last letter of the alphabet. They said so that they thought that was an appropriate thing. And apparently, they're going to end up in the Botswana salt plains, which
is where
they
their first special was.
The first one, yeah. So that's going to be the journey. So it's going to be emotional. I'm not going to lie, because those guys, big part of the childhood, and even watching Clarkson's Farm, it's horrible, really, because you see them getting older, and you're just like, damn. Like,
Yeah.
just every single special they do now, you just look at them, you just think. I mean, I watched, what was the last? Well, it would have been Clarkson's Farm, but even James May, Our Man in India, I was like, bloody hell, he looks like he's like kind of 70 pushing 80. And I'm like,
It is
it's rough.
brutal. I'd almost rather they just stopped than announcing it was the last one, though. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose they do it for viewer purpose,
Well,
kind
that's
of to
cool.
get as many. This would be their most viewed one by far.
Oh, for sure. For sure. They'll be rich off of this alone, definitely.
Oh,
Yeah.
show.
But yeah, they're gonna be totes emosh, which segues, I
Carl,
think, quite
what a great
nicely.
Doctor Who pod segment. What a great Doctor Who pod segment. Really Doctor Who related
Well, anyway,
that was. No, we're
speaking
going
of
on. Emotional endings. This is it, Brad. We're leading you
exactly.
into it.
Thanks for jumping
We're
on
going
my
to really wrap
segue
this
there,
in well in a
Jacob.
year's time when Jeremy Clarkson gets announced as a Doctor, yeah.
And this week on Doctor Who, my companion breaks the TARDIS. Oh no!
These are the most evil companions in the world.
I tell you what, Brad, you got to mash together a TikTok of Jeremy Clarkson as the Doctor.
As the doctor.
All right,
Sometimes my genius is frightening. That
I
could be a line from the
will.
doctor. In fact, that could be a line from David Tennant at the start of this episode, to be fair.
Conversations with companions.
So, welcome back to another Conversations with a Companion. This week we are covering the season four finale, and joining me this week is Tyler from Doctor Who Chronological. Tyler, tell us a bit about yourself.
So, my name's Tyler. I'm from London. I've been a Doctor Who fan since I was about 10, so from Matt
Okay.
Smith.
Yep.
Because I watched Eccleston when I was a kid, and The Empty Child scared me so much that I didn't watch it till Matt Smith. Then I'm
Yeah, I don't blame you on that one. I don't blame you on that one.
yeah. So I made a podcast with two of my mates, and we basically watch new Doctor Who in chronological order.
Okay.
So we watch all of the new episodes, but in timeline order. So in terms of what year it's set rather than what year it came out.
Okay, no, that's really interesting. So,
Very
what would
confusing.
be the first episode then? Is it Fires of Pompeii, maybe? Or
Yeah,
it
Fires
is,
of
yeah.
Pompeii. Because we're doing it by kind of, because it jumps around a lot, obviously. So we're doing it by like the majority of when it's set, because otherwise it would be just insane.
Yeah.
But it's quite fun,
Yeah, no,
because
that's
I
good.
think
And you say you do it with two
different
other
members.
people as well.
Yeah, so two of my mates, they're also massive Doctor Who fans. We just kind of we do like a live rewatch of each episode and like kind of just make jokes and make each other laugh, basically.
It's the best way to do it, really,
And
isn't it?
it's
Best way
really
to do
interesting in this order because it makes no sense, like each episode's a different
it.
doctor.
Yeah.
Different series, different companion. It's like, it's insane.
Yeah, brilliant. And are you doing it all of just all of New Who rather than the original Doctor Who?
Yeah, we're just doing new. We're watching a few classic ones, just the ones we really like. But
Yeah.
at one point, we were going to do it, but it was like, it with just New Who, it's already like 150 episodes or something.
Yeah, I was the
That
same.
would have been insane, like 200,
Yeah.
over 200. It's like,
Yeah.
going to be doing this till we're 80,
Yeah, brilliant. So are you guys on Spotify? Is it mainly YouTube, TikTok? What?
We're on YouTube mainly. We
Brilliant.
have an Instagram as well. We post memes and stuff on there.
And what's the name of your channel? Is it just Doctor
Yeah,
Chronological or
so
yeah?
on YouTube it's Doctor Who Chronological. And the image is the Absorber Loth from Love and Monsters, so you'll be able to see that. And then on Instagram, it's again Doctor Who Chronological, Doctor Who underscore Chronological. And we post a lot of, I post on that account all the time. And right now, we went to Cardiff a few
Okay.
days ago
Yeah,
and
yeah.
went around and filmed Doctor Who filming locations and like
Yeah.
recreated shots and stuff. So we're posting a lot about that right now. It's a vlog coming out soon that we filmed there as well.
Brilliant. No, well, if you're listening, please do go check them out. So, should we crack on with the questions then?
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, you kind of did semi answer the first one about when did you start watching Doctor Who? So it was Christopher Eccleston
Okay.
up until the empty child, and then left it till Matt Smith, or did you see a few episodes in
So
between?
I definitely saw David Tennant, but I wasn't like avidly watching. I think it was from my point of view, I think I became like a Doctor Who fan with Matt Smith, the 11th Hour, and like I used to get the Doctor Who magazine. I used to get all the action figures, and I was like really into it. And then when I started watching Matt Smith, I got all the David Tennant and Eccleston on DVD, and I went back and watched all the David Tennants on DVD after. And then obviously I loved it. Like the David Tennant's just great. But yeah, but then from Matt Smith all the way through to Capaldi, it was just like, oh, amazing.
Yeah.
But
So I'm looking forward to that because as I'm sure you know, Josh's favorite doctor is Peter Capaldi.
oh, same. He's the
Brad's is
best.
David Tennant. Oh, it's same. Oh, there you go. Oh,
He's
that's it.
amazing.
He's going to be back editing this, and he's just going to go, "Yes, that's it. Someone else."
Yeah, Capaldi, in terms of the Doctor's character, Capaldi's my favourite. But in terms of like the era and the episodes, probably Matt Smith. But then obviously David Tennant's also just iconic, you know. So it's kind of, yeah, it's hard.
No, that's good. That's good. So, what was the first episode you remember watching as a kid of Doctor Who?
Probably Rose, to be honest.
Okay,
But
yeah.
the first one that really sticks in my mind is probably The Empty Child because of how it like traumatized me. It's quite creepy. Like a lot of stuff in that episode is like, oh my God, because I was 5 when it came out and it was like, whoa, that's nuts, you know? When that guy
Yeah.
turned it into the gas mask, it's like, whoa.
But what is your favorite episode of Doctor Who and why?
It's just so hard. I have like a top two.
Okay, yeah.
You haven't seen either of them yet, but my number
Okay.
one is from series 5, Amy's Choice. It's just such a great episode. Like in terms of storytelling, it's just so good. But my number two is Heaven Sent with Peter Capaldi, which is
Okay.
like it's not for a while, but oh my God, it's it. If you ask most Doctor Who fans, they'll say that that's probably their favorite because it's just so good.
Okay. Nice,
Because
nice.
it's Peter Capaldi, like just him, and like it's just his performance is just really awesome. But those two, if I had to pick, but yeah.
Perfect. There you go. So, what is the coolest bit of merch that you own of Doctor Who, or you've seen, or what would you say?
I mean, I used to when I was a kid, I used to get all the like toys and stuff. Like,
Yeah,
different.
yeah.
I remember for Christmas one year, I got the set of like all 11 Doctors figures. Like,
Nice,
ooh,
nice.
that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I still have a lot of them somewhere. But I mean, we always joke about getting a David Tennant cut out for the podcast.
You
Like
gotta do it, a
I'm
life-size
standing in the
one.
back, you know,
Yeah.
watching
Yeah,
everyone.
and it's gotta be a life-size one as well. It can't be a
Oh, of
short, it's
course.
gotta be
Yeah.
full size.
Fourth
Yeah.
member.
No, that's good. That's good. And like, have you been to any kind of things like Comic-Con or any Doctor Who
Yeah.
specific conventions?
I used to go to Comic Con a lot. And yeah, I used to go quite a bit. I never met anyone from Doctor Who there.
So, who is your favorite companion?
I'd probably have to say Amy Pond or maybe Clara. Because
Okay.
I'm just a, again, Matt Smith, Peter Capaldi era, Moffat era Doctor is just my absolute favourite. I love RTD and I love David Tennant and Eccleston, but for me, the Moffat era is like my when I became a Doctor Who fan, so it's like
Yeah.
special place in my heart. But I think probably Amy, because either Amy or Donna, it goes either way.
Oh, interesting. Donna
Feisty.
as well.
Feisty redheads, they're just
Yeah.
hilarious. But
Yes. Yeah.
Amy is, I don't know, I think because I'm half Scottish as well, I just that Scottish sass that Amy
Yeah.
has, great. I mean, same with Capaldi as well, you know, like I think that's why they have a special hold a special place in my heart. But yeah, probably Amy or maybe Donna.
Yeah.
What I quite like about Donna is because obviously with Rose you had the whole romance thing with Rose.
Yep.
And Martha was in love with the doctor, but he wasn't in love back. all that kind of dynamic. But what I love about Martha is that there's like not a single trace of romance or anything particularly, you know? It's purely just, she would just, if anyone suggested it to her, she'd just be like, oh, what? You know?
No,
Just so good. That's
no, that's true.
what
That's
I
true.
like about that
Yeah.
dynamic. Kind of,
But
it changes
again,
something like that, you know?
yeah. And again, it's what you said, you know, it makes a difference, you know, because you kind of Martha was almost like that rebound kind of thing. And then suddenly you've just got Donna, who is just independent. She is purely, there's no like romantic ties or anything like that. So yeah,
That's
so it's
fair.
yeah, I've never thought of it like that way. But yeah, no, that's good. So the final question for the little segment that we've got is the season four finale.
Yes.
Love it or hate it?
I used to really like it, but
Okay.
me and I don't know, me and Caleb watched it. Me and Caleb, my co-host,
Yeah.
we one of my co-hosts, we watched it like last year, maybe again, quite recently. We rewatched it, and it was like, oh my God, this is so bad. I don't know. I feel like Waters of Mars is. I feel like Waters of Mars would have been a great farewell to David Tennant's Doctor, but
Yeah,
I felt like
it...
they wanted to bring the Master back, so that's why they did it.
Well, that yeah, I
It
agree.
was so
It's
dark, and it was so
yeah.
like, oh, imagine if he somehow regenerated after that, it would have been like, whoa, you know, like really powerful. But I feel I, because so when we watched it again recently, we were kind of like, it's just a bit annoying how kind of whiny he is about regenerating, you
Yeah.
know? And it's
Yeah,
like,
it's
mate, you've done this like 10 times, mate. You should know the drill. And he also got, the funny thing is, like, he's the one doctor who got a second chance. Like, he was gonna regenerate in Davros one in the finale.
yeah,
And he
and
didn't.
the
And he got a chance to not regenerate. And it's like, okay, so you actually did get a second chance. And he's still like, oh,
well,
I wanna do it. It's like, oh.
yeah, it just, I mean, don't get me wrong, I know that they
That's
were
insane.
really trying to tug on the heartstrings of the audience, you know, with
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to go, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh,
And
yeah. It is very emotional. It's regeneration.
yeah, it's, you know, it's very nice, and I agree with you. The Waters of Mars would have been a perfect ending,
So good.
you know. It just, but I mean, look, it wasn't a bad ending.
No, yeah.
I thought it
In
was
the
quite
end, it was
sweet.
good.
Yeah, I
I
thought it was
just,
quite sweet, but it's,
I was, it's interesting because it's like, I don't feel like it needed to be that big, you know. I don't feel like, I mean, it is very, I mean, it's fitting that it was really over the top because his doctor is very emotional and like kind of gets angry and like it's quite over the top. So it kind of matches his era a lot. But I feel like the massive like two-parter and like, and it was so long. It's just, it didn't need to be that long, you know. But I do
No.
love it, so.
No.
That's what does it for me, really, is, oh, I get to see Wolf again. Yeah, I'll watch it.
So the question is, though, love it or hate it now?
I wouldn't say I hate it, but I don't love it.
Yeah.
You know, there are episodes I would much rather watch, and ultimately it was a good ending, but it took too long to get there, I think.
Yeah. Well, look, thank you so much for joining us here in the Conversations with the Companion. As I said, go check out these guys on Doctor Who Chronological. They're on YouTube, Doctor Who Chronological. And yeah, Tyler, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Thank you for having me,
There.
guys.
Conversations with Companions.
Because let's crack on with our review. We get, before we even reach the Doctor, who the fuck is this strange lady haunting Wolf?
Oh, right. I
I love
love
the mystery behind that.
Do you? Because it kind of feels like they missed a bit off the script.
Exactly.
Why?
It's not a
Why?
mystery. It's an unanswered, unexplored, unthought of thing. It's stupid.
No, it's not. I'm not gonna sit here and listen to you slate the finale of David Tennant's Doctor, who is the, all right, it's not the greatest episode of all time. It's not the most interesting episode to go back and watch, but it is the finale of David Tennant, and it's still a great episode and a great ending. So don't
Listen,
ruin
the last 15 to 20 minutes of this is perfection, pretty much. Like, I will not
Oh,
argue with
exactly what I
that.
called it. Oh,
David
okay.
Tennant's acting in this episode, amazing.
Unreal.
Most of the characters, fine. Listen, I'd watch this over most Matt Smith finales. I'd watch this over any Jodie finales. It's a pretty good episode.
Watch it without
It's
anything else.
just so boring. And I'm sorry, but there's a lot of nonsensical points in this.
The only downside I would give to it is that it does drag a little bit. It's a bit long-winded.
It's very long. It has no right being an
You could
hour
cut out a lot
long
of the
to
spaceship bit.
cut out all of the
Other than
spaceship
that.
bit, the worst looking spaceship in all of Doctor Who history as well, I might add.
Yeah, but I love the bit where they fly down and do the shooty lasers.
That's stupid as well. You don't like
No,
Star
it's
Wars. That's just
not.
ripped straight out of Star Wars. Wilf even goes, Yahoo, when he kills one, like he's fucking Luigi.
I'm pretty sure
What's
that the
Luigi got to do with it?
I'm pretty sure that the male cactus person actually, where the Arabic throat singer, where they go, oh, I was like, okay, fair enough.
Some
I was
cactus
like,
war cries were going on.
yeah, that's okay, fair, fair. It's interesting though that you say that the last 15 minutes was the best part.
You don't think so?
I thought it was the worst part. I'm not gonna lie.
What?
Oh
What is
my
wrong with you?
God.
I right. It kind of you've both seen Deadpool 2, the second Deadpool, yeah?
Yeah.
You know the bit where he's like kind of before he comes back and he's dying, or he thinks he's dying, and then
I don't remember.
he's just kind of like lying there and he's just like, oh no, I can't die now, and he's just like, oh, it's so long-winded. I was just like, fucking die already, man. Come on, regenerate. Like,
No,
it was just this massive,
wow,
oh, how
you're
long? It was so
insane.
drawn
You've got
out.
no
And
emotion at all.
oh man. And the bit where he's like
None.
crawling in the snow and then the ood's there and he's just like, oh, we're gonna sing for you.
Oh,
Yeah,
I started welling
perfect.
up at that point,
Oh
not gonna
no.
lie.
I cried my eyes out, mate.
No, see the bits that I thought were really like kind of sincere and sweet were all of the bits where Wilf was involved with the Doctor.
Yeah,
Yes,
Wilf's class.
obviously
All of
that's what
them.
they're playing to.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I didn't think. I mean, like, I agree with Brad. I feel that there are a few bits that could be cut out there, but I actually thought the ending was too long.
Wow, I'm genuinely shocked by that because
I
it's the ending for
wholeheartedly
me that
disagree.
ties it. I would quite happily watch The Waters of Mars and then the last 10 minutes of this. And that'd be it. Oh, okay, maybe not the last sort of 10 minutes. From the moment the Time Lords get sent back, that's when this becomes a good episode for me. And but that's wild, by the way. Right, we've had Doctor Who for what, 5 years now? Started in 2005. This is 2010, technically. Three
Yeah.
seasons of David Tennant, the specials, one season of Christopher Eccleston, and we finally got the Time Lords coming back into Doctor Who. On paper, the coolest fucking thing in the world. Why are they stood in a black room for the entire fucking thing? It is the most ridiculous thing in the world.
Why? What's wrong with that? They're stuck in the time lot
I want to
from the
see
war.
Gallifrey, not just four men with fucking big collars stood in a room. Ooh, one of them's got a glove. That's exciting, isn't it? It's James Bond, for fuck's sake. Do something with him.
I couldn't have
I
any fault
thought,
with that, to be honest.
no, I thought Timothy Dalton was quite good, actually. I quite
Yeah,
like
I
that.
thought he was a good
What he
villain.
Yeah, I
Does
thought he was
is
a good villain.
excellent, but he is just a man standing there shouting. He's the president of the Time Lords, this race that we've spent 5 years building towards, and they fucking throw a drum and bass track through time because an old lady tells them to. That's what this episode is. Ridiculous.
There's
Yeah, but
always a
this is like the
crazy old
Time Lords
lady.
at their weak point because they've just come out of a war. They're weak. They're
They're
not
coming
even
back.
in the first part of this episode, other than fucking Santa Claus narrating.
Right? Why did you call him Santa?
I don't know. He feels like he's narrating a Christmas story or something.
I kind of know what you mean. Yeah, I get
You
the
had some fucked up children's stories at Christmas, didn't you?
Anyway, the crux of this problem, you said it's a great mystery. Bradley, I would like you to explain to us, not with stuff you've read after this, not with Wikipedia or anything like that, just the information given in this episode. Who is
Yeah.
that?
Well, I personally always felt that it's David Tennant's doctor's mum.
Based on what?
The emotion and the connection between them.
The emotion
And the
of
fact that
what
she's so,
connection
she
between them?
cares so much about, she's clearly too old to be his wife, so it's not his wife. And without saying anything further, we may find out more in the future about that. But you clearly know, it's clear that there's a connection between them two specifically. And I think it's obvious that that's his mum.
But what do you mean it's clearly obvious? Because they don't
The
exchange,
connection.
they do not exchange a line of dialogue. They look at each other once.
No, they don't. They have a lot of emotion. There's a connection between them.
They look at
She's
each
there.
other
She's
once.
every time she talks to Wilf and stuff, she's trying to protect the doctor. She's there for
Or
him.
is she
So there
trying to
must be a
protect
close
Earth?
relation to them. No, why does she care about Earth? She's a Time Lord.
Because she's one of the only ones that objects to the Time Lords coming back. Who was the other
Yeah,
woman
because
that
she knows how
objected?
much Earth means to the doctor.
Okay,
Basically,
JP,
his home.
what did you think?
I had no fucking clue.
Because it's
She
nonsense.
was a woman that
But why does it matter?
she did kind of play a big part.
But why do you care who she is? Why does it matter that you don't know specifically who she is? She's a Time Lord.
Okay. Why is she communicating with Will?
Because she cares about the doctor and she knows the doctor's going to find Will.
Understood. How does she know that?
Because she's a Time Lord, she can see.
She's a Time Lord, she can see. Even though she's one of the Time Lords that's stuck in the time lock, which means they can't do anything, which is why they have to send the drumbeat back in time.
Yeah.
So she's the only one that can survive out of that time lock, and she can live in Wilf's head, but none of the rest of them can. Why?
Because she's the doctor's mum.
Because she's the doctor's
I don't.
mum. Right. Excellent. Very good. Sold. Why isn't the doctor upset when he sends her back to Gallifrey?
She clearly does. He clearly does because he's emotional when it happens.
He's not.
He's crying. He's got tears in his eyes.
What are you talking about?
He is emotional.
What unbelievable. He's literally celebrating that he's still alive.
Yeah, because he has to, because that's what he had to do. But he's clearly emotional about that woman.
I'm not having it. JP, what did you think as a first-time viewer?
He looks sad, but I put that down to the fact that he's just killed his race again. Like second time genocide. It's rough.
He hasn't killed them again, though. He's just sent them back into the Time Lord.
To die.
To die, yeah.
Well, everyone dies eventually. It's not like it doesn't matter where it happens. He's not killed them because he sent them to a new place
Yeah, but
to
that's like
die.
kind of locking a dog in a closet and going, well, I didn't technically kill the dog, I just put it
Not
away.
really, because the Time Lock isn't killing them. A closet would, because it would suffocate a dog.
What?
That's a stupid analogy. I'm sorry.
He's not, they're not like stuck in a time lock. Like the time war is time locked. They're going
Yeah,
back to
that's where
die
they're
in the
going back
time
to.
war.
No, the Time War has ended at that point.
No, it
No,
hasn't.
it's
That's what they're
ending.
saying. This is the last day of the time war. We're about to die. That's why they send the signal back.
I disagree.
Did you watch this episode?
Yeah, quite a while ago.
Right, okay, let's
But
start
we know
reading
they
through.
don't die at that point.
Because something happens, he saves them.
Yes, I know. We can't talk about
No, we can't. I
that
tell you what though,
yet. It's so hard.
did you like the little call forward of the moment?
I did actually. I did remember that.
That
Yeah.
took me by surprise hearing it here for the first time.
I was quite shocked.
Bearing in mind, it's another 3 years until we get that payoff, which is pretty insane.
Yeah, and also not the same writer.
Yeah, but that's what I think Chibnall did wrong, is as much as they feel like different eras, Moffat really respected Russell's era before him. Like, it's absolutely a
Yeah.
carry on rather than a reboot.
Yeah, true.
Right, anyway, let's start reeling through this episode a little bit. Stupid lady hauntings Wilf. Dr. Clumsy's in full arrogance mode. He remote locks the TARDIS. All of that was sort of rubbing a
So
bit
cool.
thin on me, to be honest.
I just
Well,
think it
he
was
said he
cool.
was married.
He
I
got
kind of
married,
like the
yeah.
doc. I kind of
Got
like
married.
the lad version of the doctor. Quite like it. I'm on board with
I thought he was being
it. a bit too arsey.
Turns
No,
up with
but
the
it's fun.
pearls, the hat. He's married. Starts, chatting about a queen or whatever it was, a lady, and then he gets cut off.
He's had a mad
But
weekend in Cyprus by the sounds of things.
Yeah. But so does that mean the
Wicked and
doctor's now
Ilford.
divorced? Like, does that mean he's now divorced, or is he still married? Or he never really explains that one.
I
It's one
think
of those.
technically he's an adulterer. I think he's got a few wives knocking around by the later
Oh my
seasons.
God.
Ood Sigma shows up. Why is he still wearing his slave clothes? Why hasn't he got into the robes that the elders are wearing?
Only the elders wear them.
Says it's been 100 years though, and he's still in his slave clothes. You'd have got changed. Jesus didn't dress as a slave all his life, did he?
Oh,
He
he was
did,
always in
yeah.
the robe. Yeah.
He put a robe on.
Same thing. That's what he always wore.
I suppose, yeah, there's no difference between his clothes. Fair enough. So, that elder Ood, did anybody recognize the voice?
No, I recognize that a penis head, though.
It did have a
No, I didn't
penis head,
recognize
yeah.
the voice.
It's Brian Cox from X-Men 2, I mean, is I know
No.
him from, yeah.
Brian Cox, what, the scientist? No.
No, the
The actor,
you know the guy that plays oh fuck, what's his name? Stryker,
Stryker, isn't
William
it? Yeah.
Stryker.
Oh,
From
really?
X2. Yeah. That's mad, I didn't know that.
He's one of those actors where you dead recognize his face, but I can't think what else he's been in right now. So
Perfect.
yeah, that's a mad little cameo that just sort of came out of nowhere for me.
Is he American? Oh, he's Scottish.
Scottish, I think, or Irish, yeah.
He's
Speaking of
Irish.
mad little cameos, though, Lucy Saxon has still got it, hasn't she?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I got the start of a porn movie vibe when they pulled her out the cells, and I was just like, hold on a minute.
Oh yeah, I
The
remember you
butch
saying that.
warden is going, oh, you hold on, I've seen this before somewhere.
That whole resurrecting the master sequence, fucking cut it out. You don't have to explain that the master's
No,
back.
fuck
That's such nonsense.
it. I
No,
love the
it's
bit where
relevant
he.
to the fact of the ring. But give a fuck.
What do you want to do? To cut out the whole episode? I think
Cut
isn't
out
it
that
they put that
entire
in?
bit, have him back, and he's wearing the ring. That's it. That's all you have to do.
I think you're just picking it again.
No,
There's
that's
no issue with
so
it. It's like a 5-minute
boring.
sequence.
No, it's
No,
so
I like
boring.
it.
So boring. And it's just useless as well. Like, she has the whatever it is, vial of death that she throws on him, but he survives it anyway. Just say he came back. Don't give us this nonsense. Also, I've just got a note here that says either the nudester or the master flasher. Are either of those a thing? What?
What,
Because he's
the bit
naked.
where he runs across the camera?
Yeah.
I love that. It was just the stupidest thing. They're like looking through the CCTV, and then you just see just him just run across, and I was just like, oh.
Oh, yeah. They also kill off Lucy Saxon just like that. That's pretty brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, later.
So Wilf gets the old club together. I
Love
would
it.
genuinely watch an episode of just this old group solving murders, I think. Like, genuinely quite fun, good cast. Minnie's a fucking horny menace right the way up to the end of the fucking second episode.
Oh, that
She's
is something
class.
I want to discuss as well, actually. Like, there was a pretty obvious sexual assault on the doctor there.
Yes, there
Like,
really was, yeah.
and I'm like, had that been the other way around, it'd have been an old man grabbing a younger lady, you'd be fucking fuming.
Oh, you couldn't do it
And
nowadays. Doctor Who's gone woke.
that's just like, I was just like, oh, okay, fair enough. By the way, talking of inappropriate relationships, they never really describe who they are, like just philanthropists or something, but the Naismith family.
Oh, yeah, who I could have sworn from memory was supposed to be Barack Obama and the president. Totally forgot Barack Obama is in air quotes in this.
You thought he was Barack Obama, even though he's a prime minister and not the president.
No, this is the thing. I totally thought he was just supposed to be some evil president. I didn't even, I'd, like, I'd forgotten he was even bloody English. Uncle Josh.
Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty
Yeah.
bad. But is that his daughter or is it his wife? Because I really,
Daughter.
they really.
Daughter, what are you talking about?
Well,
It
it's
says
said
that's not
several
his wife.
times. Quite obvious.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
He
I
wants
didn't really pick.
immortality for his daughter, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. It just felt like an odd Adams family relationship kind of thing.
I thought it was a bit strange you never see the wife.
Yeah.
That's because she was the wife.
Well, she probably died, and that's what fueled the whole desperate for immortality
Maybe.
thing.
Well, then
Yeah.
explain that. Just say that
Well, just explain who the fucking mother is of the doctor.
then.
Just
So
for
you're
people.
admitting that she is the mother.
No. Well, yes, no,
You
because it's
just did. Well,
retrospectively
yes, no,
Russell.
yes, no, yeah, but
Russell
yeah,
has
but.
said it is the mother, but explain that in your episode.
Oh, is he?
Russell said it's the mum. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I genuinely didn't know that. That was just my opinion. I didn't know he'd even come out and said anything.
Oh, there you go. That's our segment called
Fair
Just
play.
Brad's Opinion.
There you go. It looks like I was right.
Circling back
Clearly,
to
I
the
could
old
tell the
people,
connection.
because I just want to talk about that quickly. Have either of you read The Thursday Murder Club?
Oh, I
What on earth is
started reading
that?
it and didn't finish it. There's a film
It's
being made, isn't there?
well, Richard Osmond of Pointless fame
Yeah.
wrote a few books, just a murder books, about an old people's home that goes around solving murder mysteries. They're genuinely really good books. And they have
Yeah, looks good.
just announced a movie starring David Tennant, and also
Is he
starring
in it?
and starring other James Bond star Pierce Brosnan. It looks like they're just doing principal photography and stuff like that, but I'm so excited for that. I think that's going to be
It's
brilliant.
Netflix as well, isn't it? It's not cinema, it's
I
Netflix.
think so. Yeah, I think it's going to be like a
Yeah.
straight to Netflix thing. So yeah, read the
Yeah,
books though. The
well,
books are genuinely brilliant.
yeah, I read a few chapters of the first one. I just fell out of love with reading.
That's a really sound endorsement of the book there. Right, this is my least favorite version of the Master, I think.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that.
Why is he blonde?
It's just a bit strange.
Why is he blonde? Why is he feral? Why is he Emperor Palpatine? Why are they doing jetpack electric hands all the time? Ridiculous. Hate all of it, to be honest. Why
Creepy though,
make
I
him
think he's still
feral?
quite creepy.
Oh, his performance is insane. And yeah, it's genuinely very creepy, but it doesn't work for me. What? Right. Okay. Sorry, I'm waffling on a bit here, boys. But have this be a different Time Lord. You can still have the Master come back at the end, but have the whole same plot about they've sent the Master, the drums, and all that sort of nonsense, and but have a different Time Lord fall through the cracks slightly earlier than when Gallifrey comes in, and the whole episode is the Doctor hunting down this feral Time Lord, and he has to team up with the Master to stop him, and then the Master gets access to the gate and brings it through, and then it plays out the same way as that. But it feels like such a different character from when we last saw him, I think is my issue.
I do kind of agree with that, but then who are you going to use as the other Time Lords? You don't really know any others.
But we didn't really know the Master before the Master came back.
You did from the old series.
No, there's loads of Time Lords from the old series that they always say. The Rani, the Valyard,
Yeah, the Rani, to be
others.
fair, yes.
Just make it anybody. Why, like, I just don't see why it's the Master again. What did you think of him, Jack?
Yeah, true.
Look, the actual acting performance I thought was very good. John Sim just he nailed that kind of insane intelligence, I guess you'd call it. Like you could tell that he wasn't wired up there, but he knew what he was doing. Like it was really good. And as you said, at bits it was really creepy. Like the bit where he's like eating the food, or he's going on about like different bits of food and beer and cream and all that stuff. It was genuinely quite creepy, and you could tell that they kind of sped up the footage and kind of quick chop cut the footage as well, just to make it almost seem rambly and everything like that. So I really like that, but it just really put me off. Every time I see him with the blonde hair, I'm just like, it's Slim Shady. I'm just like, why? Why make him blonde? Just keep him normal.
That
But
was apparently John Sims' recommendation, but I'm like, what is the point? He even has brown hair when he's being resurrected. So, like, I think it's supposed to be
yeah.
like a defect of him, the process not finishing properly. But why would that make you blonde? I don't understand.
No, neither do I. And again, you touched on the whole Emperor Palpatine hands and the fucking Superman jumping and everything like that. And I get that he is expending energy from the bot, like from his physical copy of his body. So, the doctor can't do that, but he can. But he just seemed very, it just seemed a bit of an odd choice, really.
Yeah, no, I agree. Why have him be this? Why have his face zapping to a skeleton every 2 minutes? Because it just looks stupid.
I thought the skeleton bit looked pretty good, actually.
I did think
It's
it
like
looked
he's
pretty
not
good.
alive, he's half dead, sort of thing.
Yeah, I
Thought that
did
looked
quite
quite
like
cool.
it. I quite liked it, actually. Again, it's
Fair enough.
creepy.
I'm just not a huge fan of it. I like, he says one line that he's like, oh, I'm the master of disguise and I'm stuck as one of the most famous, prime ministers of all time. That's really fascinating, but they don't do anything with it. Like, he's captured immediately. It's not like he has to go undercover or anything. But like, him being a master of disguise isn't something that comes back around until the Peter Capaldi era. Like, maybe it's rewarding for the old fans, but it just feels like such a wasted line here, to be fair. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not a fan. Again, like you mentioned, JP, the best bits are the bits with Wilf and that first conversation when they're in the cath. I mean, David Tennant literally says, but even though I'm regenerating, I still die. What a brutal thing to put in a kid show in an episode where he's about to regenerate. Like, no, David Tennant is dead. Like, regenerating or not, he's dead. Like, brutal, I thought.
It's the only like it was just interesting because they kind of changed the rules really a bit around the whole regeneration process. So like when you look at Christopher Eccleston's regeneration, I guess because he wasn't the doctor for long or something like that, and David Tennant was a bit more established, but it just seemed that they were drawing this process out. And I wonder if it was just because they were trying to do a service to the fans and give them a really good finale that was lengthy and you got as much time and it was all emotional and everything like that, or whether they just didn't know how to properly make him gone, if that makes sense.
They literally couldn't kick David Tennant off the set, and he still comes back to this day.
Yeah, exactly. The script said for him to just drop dead, and David Tennant was like, no, I'm not doing it.
There are no rules to regeneration, really. I mean, the most latest one, the Bi-Generation, the one before that, he regenerates his clothes. There's never any, they just regenerate. People say the reason this one was so explosive is because he got doused with so much radiation and then held it in for so long that it had to come out in such a dramatic way. But it's just dramatic for dramatic effect, I think. The only rule you need to know about regeneration, and I'm not sure I ever knew this until Matt Smith regenerates, but you're only allowed 13 regenerations or 12 regenerations and 13 doctors. But that's never mentioned right up until now.
No, it's quite a new thing, to be fair.
Well,
Just
no,
having a look
apparently
about
it's
the
from the classic
regeneration.
one.
Oh, is it really? I've
Yeah,
never
but
switched
it's
to
not mentioned in this new series until Matt Smith comes to regenerate.
that.
But that's
Yeah,
literally
true.
the only role.
Yeah, just on the regeneration, like I know you said about the reason for holding it and stuff, and it was big and dramatic, but you got to remember. No matter what you think, I know you love Peter Capaldi, he's your favourite Doctor, but this was like this is peak Doctor Who. This is viewing figures at their max as they ever were. People loved David Tennant, that they had to do something dramatic for him. That's the reason for it. Now, if you hadn't, it would have been a letdown.
Yeah, no, 100%. And but what I think is so great about this regeneration, or this regeneration episode, is it's not a dramatic reason to regenerate. He's not just absorbed bad Wolf. He's not just fought off a Dalek fleet. He's not killed in battle. He wins, and then he has to sacrifice himself for Wilf. Like, the Doctor could walk away. Like, there's nothing dramatic about him going into a glass cupboard and pretending to be, crying on the floor. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's
Do you think they
not
had to do that
dramatic.
though because of the Dalek thing? Because if they'd have just done something similar, it's like, oh, well, that happened before, and then he just siphoned off into his hand. It had to be something different.
But he could have Rassilon use his glove to make him regenerate. The Master could zap him to regenerate. Like, I just think it's interesting. He doesn't die in battle. It's not dramatic. You know, this is afterwards. This would be like if you, I don't know, stepped on a landmine, 2 years after the war had finished. Like, there's nothing dramatic about it. And yet it is probably the most dramatic regeneration we've ever had, I think.
Yeah, it's got to be because of the whole ending, like when he goes to get his reward. If he had died in battle, then he wouldn't have got that. I think
Yeah.
that's that makes that's more important than a dramatic regeneration ending, I think.
I agree. And I think it only works for this doctor.
Yeah, 100% because of the emotion. Everyone loved him.
Yeah, who does
He's the
Eccleston
next
go back and
doctor.
see? Who does Matt Smith go back and see? Who does Peter Capaldi go back and
Exactly.
see? No one has a family like
No
this
one.
doctor. We're jumping way ahead though. It's because there's not much to say in this part one episode, I think. I hate the cactus monsters in this. Stupid.
Really?
Yeah, they are a bit annoying, to be fair.
Stupid design, stupid characters. They've got the stupidest looking cactus spaceship in the world. Oh, I hate all of it. Hate them. Really dislike them.
I don't hate the characters as much in that. I think I just hate the actual actors themselves. I think they're very, I don't know, they're a bit BTEC actors, aren't they? They're a bit like they're over dramatic in the way they talk for no reason, I think.
Think they're
Yeah, I get
trying
that
to be
actually.
too
I
funny.
don't like it. Yeah, they are trying to be too funny.
The female one really annoys me because she's
Yeah,
just so
that's the
like,
worst.
in fact, actually, the male one annoys me as well because the male one is just incompetent, like
Yeah.
completely incompetent. And the female one is so like kind of so far up her own arse, it's just like unbelievable.
Yeah, I think the female
Yeah.
gets more screen time as well. Like, I can't really remember anything that the male one does, but they are just a little bit irritating. They do, I have to say, the bit where they're wheeling the doctor out whilst he's in his bondage machine. That's brilliant. But again, that's funny because of David Tennant.
Yeah, it's because he's sitting there going, like, let me out, and that. He's funny in that, not them.
Yeah, they just don't do it for me. Like I mentioned, the Time Lord's just in a black void. Just doesn't do it for me. None of the Donna bits do it for me either. I get. It's nice to see her, I suppose, but we don't like we saw her 4 episodes ago, a year ago. Who's
Yeah,
this
it was probably
for?
too soon, wasn't it?
You know what? I'm glad you said that, actually. Two things I want to kind of say there. One, they do show the council in Gallifrey,
Yeah.
which did look quite cool. But
I
two,
totally agree. That's yeah, that was giving like, prequel Star Wars vibes, where they go into the room with all the spinning chairs where ET is and everything.
the
But
Senate room.
yeah, the Senate room. But just green screen that for the back of all of this conversation and I'd be happier. I can't, and I just, it's just pure, like, what is it? How do you even, it must be tricky to set that up to film. I just don't see the point of it.
I mean, look, I guess it was supposed to show that they kind of like in like like I don't know if you've ever been to the war rooms in London, where like Winston Churchill and all that were like underground.
Yeah,
Because at
okay.
the end of the day, they're at war, and like you're not gonna like say for example, like with UK Parliament, you're not gonna discuss what motions you're gonna bring to Parliament in Parliament in front of everyone.
Yeah,
You
yeah.
discuss it behind closed doors, and then you bring it to Parliament to debate and. Yada yada. So I guess they tried to show it that way, as in like they're in a wartime setting. It's they're hiding, they're scheming, trying to get out. But yeah, I see what you mean with like the lighting and everything like that. Surely it'd be easy to just green screen it than just put them in dark.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, what was your second point?
Second point is I can't remember what I was saying there. Oh, the Donna part.
Oh,
The
yes.
Donna part. I thought she was going to play a bigger role in this, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. It
I think
God,
she just
what
had
did
to
you
be in
think?
it because of Wolf was there, wasn't he? It had to be
Yeah.
explained. She had to be an involvement with her for Wolf being involved, really.
Yeah, because like even down to the point where she goes, like the last bit we see of Donna before the kind of the ending, like she kind of releases that energy from the TARDIS,
Yes.
and I'm like, oh shit, she's gonna be like a massive weapon. They're gonna, she's gonna use her ability. It's gonna kind of go back to the Dr. Donna part and everything like that, and then she just falls in a coma and wakes up at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
And
How many times can that be used as well? That's my question.
Yeah, it's, I
Just the
mean,
once.
just the once, actually. Just the once one, actually.
Just the once one.
but yeah, I don't know. It was a bit strange. Like, if you'd have said, like, kind of, if you'd have made me gamble at the start of season four, who was going to be in the finale more, Donna or Wilf? I'd have got Donna hands down any day.
Yeah.
Mad it's Wilf, though.
Yeah, I know.
I love that it's Wilf. I love that he gets a go in the TARDIS. And I love
Yeah,
his
he's like a
little.
companion, isn't he?
I thought it would be clean. Well, his names are even mentioned in the credits, and I love that for him.
Yeah.
I love Wilf's conversation with the doctor about the gun on the spaceship. It goes on for too long, but it's good stuff.
Yeah, emotional though when he says he'd be proud, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I do like
It
that.
adds
I
the
do like that.
emotion, yeah.
It does
Yeah.
have the emotion. And then we get our little Star Wars moment. We're obviously breezing over it because there's not that much to talk about, but we get the little Star Wars moment. And then for a split second, the Doctor is about to just kamikaze the shit out of this palace.
Yeah.
Would be a very
Love
different
that.
show if that was the case.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's a salvage ship, so you know, it's probably got some kind of heavy duty shields. Might be viable, I guess.
Jettison Wilf out, send him out in an escape pod and just bomb it. But he doesn't. He pulls up. The ship is just flying in space up, directly up at God knows what speed. And the doctor just jumps out of it through the
Iconic.
glass ceiling and hits the floor and
Yeah.
is otherwise fine.
Yeah, of
No,
course he is. He's Star Lord.
he Captain America in it, all right.
Do not
Yeah.
give me that shit. The
He just.
doctor cannot do this. That's such bullshit.
I watched it,
I
like
think
when we was
Yank is
watching
already
it,
regenerating.
I was just like, oh dear. I'm not sure why they did it. I
It's
really don't
such
know.
bullshit. Come on. And then
I
they
love
just
it.
have Wilf running in after a while anyway. And it's like, what the fuck? Yeah, true.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose they wanted well, yeah, no, because in fact Wolf's there when the doctor has to make the decision between Gallifrey or the master, so
At
yeah.
that point, I was like, this certifies it. Not as a bad episode, because I think the ending is there, but this is now a bad story because that's just so ridiculous. And then, anyway, I'm just egregiously bad at that. He finds the strength to get up. He's wielding Wilf's gun. And this is all, I remember this annoying me when it first aired as well. He pulls the trigger. The gun doesn't shoot. Fine. I don't know about guns. Presumably, you've got to release the trigger for it to shoot. But the gun cocks or makes the cocking noise every
Oh
time he turns. It's so annoying.
yeah, that annoys me. I
Just
mean, I get,
dramatic effect.
I
It's
get that
annoying.
you can cock the
No.
gun, but it's just, yeah. For a man that doesn't know how to, like, doesn't like guns, I doubt the doctor would have done that every time.
But
Well, I think he did.
even just the swapping between one, swapping between two, all of that dramatic tension, and it is pretty good dramatic tension, but all of that dramatic tension goes when you realize the answer is you just shoot a box that's slightly behind the master. If the doctor knows that, why is he doing the back and the forth and the back and the forth? And will he shoot James Bond or will he shoot fucking ashes to ashes over there? It's nonsense.
Yeah, it was. I guess it's because you want to see who the doctor's going to shoot.
Also, right, Razalon has a gun that ev oh, sorry, has a glove that evaporates people. Evaporate the what are you doing? Wait until he's facing the master. Click your fingers and evaporate the cunt. Thanos that bastard, you know?
You could say that about every big film. Every big film has that opportunity to kill someone off they should have. And they don't because it's a film and it's a dramatic effect. They don't need to
No,
bring that up.
Every shit film has a situation like that.
No,
The
that's a
best
lie.
of the
All good films
best,
have it
you
as well,
don't
though.
put them in a position where they could be killed. You write yourself around it.
No, I disagree. I think it all happens.
No, you make it so that the doctor is part of the link as well. So if he evaporates the doctor, or if the master electrocutes the doctor, then they go back as well, you know, something like that. Just because there's no excuse for Rassilon. We literally see it disintegrate a person in half a second. There's no excuse for him not to do that to the doctor.
Well, maybe the fact that it's one of his own kind.
But he evaporates one of his own kind.
Yeah, but he's the doctor.
Nah, don't give me this shit. Rassilon hates the doctor. Throughout
He's
these,
the doctor.
not having it.
The doctor.
I am
My doctor.
absolutely not having
Yeah,
it. I tell you what I do like though, the master's, I want to call it sacrifice, but I think we'll discuss it. I'm not 100% sure it is, but just almost his redemption. By the way, okay, sorry, just backtracking a little bit here. The premise of this episode that the Time Lords have sent the drumbeat back to the master, and that's why he's got this drumming all the way back from season three. Fantastic. I fucking love that. That's why the
yeah,
master's
that is
gone
quite cool.
crazy. Oh,
Yeah,
brilliant.
never.
What it obviously falls apart how it plays out in the episode, but I love that the master gets up and starts zapping Rassilon. And my initial note was the master sacrifices quality, saved the doctor. I don't even think he is saving the doctor at this point. You could argue because obviously, the master comes back in future episodes and he's an enemy of the doctor. He's not doing any of this for the doctor. He's just zapping the Time Lords because they fucked with his head. It's just lucky that the doctor Mick gets to survive out of that. He's just not focusing his attention on the doctor right now. And I think that ambiguity is excellent, to be fair. I don't like the master in this story, but his story arc since Utopia is pretty fucking good, if you ask me.
Yeah, I'd agree
Yeah.
with that. To be fair, it suits his character, doesn't it? He's doing everything for himself, like he always has done.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I agree with that. It's I think it's just anger as well. Like that's I think that's what he portrays so good when he starts zapping back. It's like that pent-up anger that he's just realized that he was just being played. Like what he says about when do they call him the president or the prime minister?
President of
Timothy
Gallifrey,
Dalton,
yeah.
president. And what he says about you're just a disease, or like you're just diseased, you just see him like snap. And I really like that. And again, it's credit to John Sim. I think it was just like brilliant acting through the two part, like both of the two parts. Brilliant acting.
Agree with you
It
completely.
kind of
Just
feels.
on that. Oh, go on, Brad.
No, I was just saying, got backing that up. I think it kind of feels like the first set sort of kills him anyway, and then the aggression just he keeps doing it just to make him worse.
Okay,
Just adds to that. That's what I felt.
Just with regards to him calling the master a disease and stuff, and I know it probably speaks to the arrogance of the Time Lords, but wait until you're through before you start slagging off the guy that's getting you there. Like, come
Yeah.
on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a bit of kind of a singing before the fact. What's it called? Kind of.
Yeah, I don't know. Counting your chips before the fat lady sings. You're
Yeah, that's
literally
it.
biting the hand that's feeding you, is what's happening there. Like, just a
Oh, I
bit.
love these metaphors we're going for here.
This is the DocuPod analogy section of the show. Yeah. Okay, right. The Time Lords go back. The Master gets dragged down with him. Will we ever see? Oh, by the way, I love it that the women holding their hands over the face and they're like, "You
Oh.
shall stand in shame like the weeping angels of old."
Yeah,
Right.
that's a big thing, isn't it?
Does that come up? Because that was actually on my notes. Because it kind of like my ears perked up when I was watching it. I was like, oh, hold on a minute. Because they're literally in the same pose as the Weeping Angels as well.
Yeah.
Does that come up in the future? Or is that just like this lady just, it's a mystery?
It's a mystery.
Oh, good.
It never really comes up. I think there are rumors that when a Time Lord dies, they become a weeping angel. Or Stephen Moffat
that kind of backed
says,
up in Jodie's series?
kind of, but also not really.
Yeah.
I don't know, would need to watch that episode again, to be fair.
Oh, God.
So yeah, so the doctor's mum, we say goodbye to her, we say goodbye to the master, probably not for the last time. And the doctor's won, shows no remorse for just losing his mother, but he's won. And then Wilf, who knows about the knocking four times thing,
Oh,
decides to just
love
fuck with the doctor.
it.
Banter.
Oh, just I put in my notes, right? So of course Wilf then sacrifices himself to kind of release the bloke that was in the chamber, in like the other
Yeah, because he's
chamber.
a
So
legend.
my notes were, oh no, Wilf, and then do it, because I really wanted the doctor to just pull the trigger. You know, I felt like Emperor
Yeah.
Palpatine, just, you know, do it. And then, oh no, Wilf.
What I
he
don't
just
think
put
I'd
the
noticed until this time around is you see the doctor notice Wilf has gone in and you see his head drop. Like David Tennant almost visibly goes, fuck, I'm gonna have to deal with that after this. Yeah, what a troll. What an absolute troll. This for me is when the episode is saved. Like, oh, that speech he gives about, you know, he could be so much
So
more.
much more.
Oh
Yeah.
man, that is,
So
again,
much more.
you cannot deny David Tennant's acting here. Like, unreal.
World class.
That's really
World
interesting,
class.
because I actually thought the doctor was a bit of a dick about it.
Oh, come on.
He just, like, I get that
Had to
he's
be,
frust
though.
I get that he's frustrated. And like, you know, that he's now he knows straight away that he has to sacrifice himself to save Wilf. He's
Yeah.
not gonna let Wilf. I totally get that. And it's like a kind of, I've come so far, I've literally pushed Gallifrey back through there, I've saved Earth again, and now you're dick, I'm gonna have to kill myself to save you. But like, it's just when he goes, you're nothing. And I was like, wow, like that's just mean.
It's true. Wolf is just an 80-year-old human. As much as we love him, he's not going to save the world like the Doctor does, is he?
I guess, yeah, but I don't know.
I read, just touching on what we discussed earlier, there's supposed he David Tennant is conveying the frustration that this is his last regeneration as well.
Okay.
So he's
Yeah,
frustrated
he
that
basically
he's
will die.
Using it up when he could have, you know, like this isn't like he'll regenerate another 10 times after this. He's now on his last life. So apparently that's the added frustration. But yeah, I
Yeah.
also think like there's no doubt he's gonna save Wilf. He knows Wilf knows he's gonna save him. He knows he's gonna save him. I think he's just venting, and I think it is genuinely quite beautifully done, to be fair. And yeah, like I said, he doesn't go out in a gunfight or in a wave of glory. We get a middle-aged man in a cupboard, slowly falling to the floor and covering his head. Like, that's how David Tennant regenerates. It's pretty cringy when you put it like that, and yet it all just fucking works, no?
Yeah,
Yeah, it's the emotion.
it's that bit where he's just like curled up at the bottom.
It
You're
wasn't
like,
quick, was it? It wasn't something that
no.
just happened. Like you know, Christopher Eccleston is one, like he regenerates and then bam, he's David Tennant. This is dragged out and like it's an emotional, and it's for an emotional doctor. It's perfect in my opinion.
What I have an issue with is
Oh, for God's
Christopher
sake.
Eccleston regenerated by absorbing Bad Wolf. David Tennant has
Oh,
regenerated by absorbing radiation. Fine. We need to go back and watch Smith and Jones because in that, he absorbs the radiation set off from the X-ray machine.
very low level radiation, yeah.
Well, I want someone to check the figures for us and let us know. Could he have just put this in the
Has to be
shield?
very low level.
Well, yeah, I mean, first of all, one of them's a
No.
nuclear reactor. which, if you think about it, the
Yeah.
amount of nuclear
And one's an
fucking,
MRI, for God's sake.
yeah, I mean,
Yeah, but
like
it's
fucking
being
iron an MRI,
sonicked.
yeah, but like, mate, I had an MRI a month ago, a month and a half ago. I'm not fucking dying of radiation, or maybe I am.
It's been
What?
sonic. I also, just on that, and again, it's a beautiful moment. It's absolutely lovely. I do genuinely, I think everything from here on, nitpicking these glass containers that are supposed to absorb all this radiation. There's a close up of Will's face, and you can see the gap between the door that's supposed to be locked and like the rest of the room. And it's a bit like, come on, BBC budget, you can do a bit better than that. At least make that gap closed. Like, come on. But I get it, suspension of disbelief. And then it's fan service time, boys. The doctor goes and gets his reward.
Yeah, I was.
What we
I
waited
have a
for.
couple of questions.
Oh, don't you dare ruin this. I swear to God, I will kill you.
Yeah, so like, I will say straight off the bat, I thought it was quite sweet where the doctor goes and sees previous companions and everything like that. But Martha and Mickey being married is a interesting one because she was engaged, wasn't she, to that doctor, the guy that Tom Ellis plays.
Yeah, she was engaged to Dr. Devil. And now
So,
we've got Dreadlock Martha marrying Mickey Smith. Yeah.
yeah, what happened there?
Love it.
I don't
Why didn't
like
that? I
it.
think it's perfect.
Do you?
They're a great couple. They're suited. They both want to do the torture-y sort of thing that they're doing. I think it's great.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mickey loves a
Second, why
girl
is
that
there
loves.
reason? Doctor.
No, wait,
That
I
other
want to
bloke
talk
was
about a bit
boring.
more about this. Mickey loves a girl that loves the doctor, doesn't he? Like, I don't know. It
Yeah.
doesn't work for me. She should have stayed with Tom Ellis's doctor, and he should have just done his own thing. I do like the idea that it's Martha Jones and Mickey Smith. Smith and Jones, that's the
Smith
name
and Jones,
of the
yeah.
episode. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. But yeah, also, I don't like Martha with dreadlocks. So I just want to throw that out there.
Oh, no, I quite liked it, actually.
Nah, not a
Yeah, I
fan.
did.
Yeah. A bit rare that they were being shot at just by a single Sontaran.
Yeah, and how did the Sontaran manage to get behind them?
Yeah, I don't
Yeah, I'd
understand that.
love to know where it was, to be fair, because it's in England, but.
I don't know. There must have been more, presumably, and one of them just managed to sneak behind. I don't know.
No idea. No
Also,
idea.
it doesn't matter. It's just good to see them out. Where's that TV show? I want to watch that TV show.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that
I
should have
agree.
they should have put them into Torchwood after that.
Agreed. 100% agreed.
yeah I the because I'd never seen the Sarah Jane Adventures, that part didn't mean anything to me. It was just
Oh,
that's
even
a
though
new
you got to
couple.
see the little kid that hid in the attic in the last episode we saw.
Yeah, I mean, he saves him from being run over. Survival of the
I'm
fittest,
quite gutted
maybe.
that
I don't
the only issue I have with that bit is that he doesn't actually go and see Sarah Jane. I think he should have done.
He does.
know. Yeah, he kind
Yeah,
of
he
waves at
sort
her.
of from a distance they wave, but like he doesn't go and talk to her
But that's what he
or
does
like
with
see
all of
her
them.
properly. He talks to Rose.
That's it.
Doesn't
And
talk
that's
to
it.
Jack.
Doesn't talk to Martha and Mickey.
Talks to the woman.
Yeah.
The
No,
daughter of
talks to the
thingy.
woman, yeah.
So it's not like he can't talk to them. So
I think.
Mickey and Martha, I get because if he helps them by killing the Sontaran. But he's just in the street saving Luke from being run over. Why couldn't he just go over and speak to her?
I don't think anything needs to be said. I think it's genuinely quite a heartwarming moment. Also, don't forget she's fuck, what's his name? Who was the third doctor? Peter, I can't remember. But she travelled with the third doctor, then with the fourth doctor, now with David Tennant, and he does see her again as Matt Smith. So I think that's sort of fine. That's not his companion. That's about as much his companion as Mickey and Martha, really.
Sorry.
So apparently, the whole Sarah Jane bit is an in joke because the actors, the kids in the Sarah Jane Smith show, it was like one of the like they used to get review bombed because the kids never looked when they were crossing the road because obviously they were filming it on like a closed set and stuff. So it's a
Oh,
whole
really?
in joke that yeah, he doesn't look when he crosses the road and nearly gets hit by a car. I quite like that. I thought that was quite funny.
That's fast. I didn't know
We then obviously get Jack and Alonso in the Star Wars cantina.
I really like
that.
that Star Wars Cantina thing. Yeah, I really like they just put like a load of random species and they were like, yeah, there you go, all in there.
Random species being, what costumes have we got that we can put on quickly?
Yeah. Had a quick rummage through the warehouse and went, yep,
Yeah,
that'll do.
like, why is the Hath there? That doesn't make any sense. They should be, and it's still in its military costume as well. Like, ridiculous. I like
Bit
that
of
whole
fun.
bit. I like that whole bit. I like Jack and Alonso being set up. Little bit predatory from Jack, if you asked me.
Well, I couldn't
Maybe I'm
work
just.
out if he was, yeah, I couldn't work out if he was trying to flirt with him or whether he was just trying to recruit him.
You
No,
mental.
he's
That's the
quite clearly trying to
flirtiest
flirt with him.
conversation I've ever seen.
Yeah.
The only note I've got on that, you see two Slitheens walking past, apparently, and they're the Slitheen costumes from the Sarah Jane Smith episode. Now, I don't know what this is referring to, but the note said these are the costumes of the Slitheen before they were spray painted red to be the Slathon or something like that. Here we go.
Edit here.
Here we go. The two Raxacophora, I used to be able to say that word, but I can't anymore. At the bar,
Raxacoraca
Raxacoracophalopetaurus, there you go. At the bar are the new Slitheen costumes created for the Sarah Jane Adventures, rather than the old ones from season one. Notably, this was filmed before, but broadcast after The Gift, where the Slitheen costumes were painted orange to serve as a blatherine.
Oh.
Googling a blatherine quickly. Blathereen, Sarah Jane. Oh, it's hardly any fucking different.
Yeah, I just googled it as well, and it still looks, it's just an off green.
It's just
It's
got a
not orange.
tan, basically, is what's happening there.
Kind of brown, if anything.
Yeah. Well, that was disappointing.
Yeah, no, actually, I've just seen two pictures alongside it, and it is quite significantly different.
Well, there you go. That was a lovely little detour. Anything else to add
Interesting.
about the Sarah Jane segment?
No.
So then we go off. Oh no, we were talking about Jack and Alonso. Sorry. Anything to add about Jack and Alonso?
Nope.
No. I liked the. Was it a. There was like a white and black sort of like chess piece person in the background. I thought all the weird characters in the background was quite cool.
Yeah.
And then we're over to Verity Newman, the granddaughter of the lady from. A family of blood and the other one. That's my
Yeah.
favorite. That's my favorite cameo, I think.
It's actually quite emotional when he's just sort of like, was she happy? And you can tell he's sort of like tearing up a bit. Like he wanted to be there with her.
Even like her realization that this is the doctor, like all of it
Yeah.
is just properly beautiful. But also, what an odd episode to call back to. Like, I don't know. I love it. I think maybe that makes me remember those two episodes fondly as well. I don't know. Just really
A
love
big
it.
thing to pick out, I guess. Yeah.
I think it's just really beautifully done. And Verity Newman is an Easter egg to the two creators of Doctor Who, which was Verity Lambert. And I've forgotten the guy's name, but something
Something
Newman.
new
Yeah.
then.
But what I love about this is it kind of implies that this is going in the same way, because now we have a woman called Verity with the idea for Doctor Who. Maybe this has spawned a Doctor Who-esque show in universe, which I just think it's quite a nice little Easter egg loop thing. Yeah. And then obviously he goes back to the wedding. The only note really I've got about there is that Minnie's a right horny devil, but we sort of spoke about that at the top.
No, I love that bit as one of the most, I think. The fact that it's for me, it's a bit with Sylvia when he's like, oh, I just popped back to borrow a quid from a lovely man, Jeff Noble, and he's like, have that on me. Like, that is a big thing for her. I like that. Given people hate her as well.
Yeah, she has I will give you that. I will give you that. I think that's a really nice moment. The only thing I thought would be super funny is obviously, little spoiler alert here, JP, but they lose all their money in the future. I think they say that Donna gives it away. What
Oh
would have
shit.
been quite a good joke is if they're like, you got the number, like you got one number wrong, doctor. Like, I just thought that would be quite a funny way of doing
Imagine,
it.
yeah.
And then at the end of the specials, he gets them the right ticket and they live rich. I thought that could be a nice way of doing it,
That
but
would have actually been really good.
alas, they don't do that. And then he goes and sees Rose. That's so emotional, man.
That is it. That's the peak bit.
Did they de-age Billie Piper? Because she looked off in there.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Just the blonde hair, dark eyebrows, maybe? Like, I don't know.
I
They.
think it's the clothing makes her look younger as well, to be fair.
Yeah, they clearly did
It's
something.
like they put her in 2005 clothes, haven't they, basically?
Yeah. I doubt they had de-aging technology on a BBC budget, to be
Nah.
honest.
Well, that was it. It just looked a little bit off, and I wasn't sure. I couldn't quite put my finger on it.
If you think back to series one, though, I think she looks younger there than she does here.
Oh, yeah, obviously. They look like two different people, but it does a good enough job, I think. I love that Jackie says she's just started dating Jimbo the mechanic, who is the guy that saves the day by giving her the big yellow truck that opens the heart of the TARDIS. Love that. What a fucking validation callback. I don't know. I'm here for it. Absolutely love it. And then, yeah, like, this is 2005. I think you're going to have a really fantastic year. Oh, the feels. The absolute feels.
Perfect. As I've said all along, perfect.
I think, like, as well, we've been doing this podcast, as we just discussed off air there, for just over a year. This was 5 years of our childhood, Brad. Like, just going through it like this week by week, like, I don't, like, JP, I don't think you're getting exactly the same as what we got. This was fucking huge. We were losing David Tennant, as far as we knew.
Yeah, this is where, and like everyone says, they have their own doctor. And I'm convinced it is purely the fact of who you grew up with. I didn't watch, I don't know if you did, Josh, but I didn't watch Christopher Eccleston's like series live. I got into Doctor Who after that. I don't remember exactly when, but obviously watched all of David Tennant's series, and that was like the emotion. You've gone through 3 to 4 series of this now. Like, this is it. David Tennant's going, and it was emotional. Like, he loved it.
Yeah, no. I mean, I did watch it from the start. I remember, and I don't know if it's a real memory or if it's just what my parents have told me, but I apparently cried when Christopher Eccleston regenerated because I
Really?
was like 7 years old and didn't know what the fuck was going on, I might add, not because I'm a baby. And then, yeah, I just stuck with it throughout. And they're like, especially so weird. What David Tennant has been with us since 2006 to 2010. So we're what? 8 to 12, they're pretty fucking formative years. Do you know what I mean? Just
Yeah, it's a long time.
and he doesn't want to go, and he never really did. But I mean, what a line!
Best ending
Yeah,
line of the Doctors.
look, to be honest, I just think that the whole bit where he was outside, where he falls over, and I didn't get that part. It was a bit long. But then,
About to
the final part
die.
where he says, "Oh, I don't want to go." I was like, "Okay, that's quite sweet."
Apparently,
You not find it emotional when the Ood was just there? The Ood was there and he went, "We will sing you to your sleep."
oh
No, I
God,
did get that. Oh, I love it. I love it.
absolutely love it.
And
Absolutely
then the
love it.
music starts and he crawls in and I want to go.
I don't want to go. Apparently, and I think this is quite well known, they did four takes of that.
Yeah, they did,
Starting
yeah.
from pretty much no emotion, and then number four being all the emotion. And apparently, they
And
went
they
with
went
take number
before.
three.
I thought they went before.
No, apparently, there's one where he goes even more dramatic
Oh,
that they
wow.
didn't use. So I would like to see that. I'm sure I've seen it somewhere on YouTube. I'd like to see it again.
Yeah.
And then, why? I mean, for us, me and Brad, we've gone through quite a few TARDISes, TARDI, I don't know, at this point. JP, how did you feel watching the TARDIS literally explode from the inside?
Oh, I thought it was quite cool, actually. Like a fitting end to.
Just a bit that falls off, that gets
Like
me.
that col the big sort of like column thing that falls. Yeah, you're like, fuck.
It's
Absolute
kind of,
madness.
it's like the end of an era, really, isn't it? And they've made sure that everything is the end of the era. So not just the Doctor, but the TARDIS as well.
it's all
Yeah,
change.
it's all change. And I'm really looking forward to it, to be fair. But speaking of change, your
Yeah.
first few lines, your first few minutes, what do we think of Matt Smith?
He hocked to and spits on the TARDIS.
Yes. I actually missed this whilst watching it, but there's quite a few notes I've got on it. Well, come on, let's hear your thoughts on Matty Smith.
I
Hocked to and
actually,
spit on a thing.
bear in mind, like, I've already seen his whole series. I'm not his like biggest fan, but again, as we've said, I've got the connection to David Tennant. I think his first like few lines of that, I think he's funny. He's pretty good, and I think he sort of he's similar to David Tennant in his quirkiness and stuff. Just don't think he follows through on it enough in his series.
I think there's a huge David Tennant influence in this bit. I'm genuinely really excited now to go back and see if we just aged out of it when Matt Smith came on, because people fucking love him, especially
Do
Americans.
they?
Yeah, honestly, Matt Smith was the doctor that made it big in America. That's fact. I think his
That
first.
just because that's when it went over there, though?
No, I don't think it is. I think he's the one that really sold it, and people love him. I think you said, was it Matthew Roberts? It's his favorite doctor.
Yeah, it's his favorite doctor, yeah.
I think that's quite across the board. I'm really excited to go back. Didn't realize we got Geronimo from day one.
Yeah, I didn't know about that, to be fair.
And
Oh, okay, so that's his catchphrase, is it?
that's his Alon Z. Yeah.
Okay.
I found this just quite interesting, but this is the first time in 6 years since Doctor Who came back that Russell T Davies hasn't been the one to write the dialogue for the Doctor.
What do you mean? What? Say
Sorry,
again?
run that part. That didn't make any sense. That genuinely didn't register. Go on, one more time.
As soon as David Tennant starts regenerating,
Yeah.
that's it. Russell T Davies is out. That's now Stephen Moffat's episode. So obviously, David Tennant
Oh.
isn't on set anymore. Russell T Davies is gone. I think they keep the same director. But yeah, otherwise, as soon as he starts regenerating, that is now new era of Doctor Who. So Stephen Moffat wrote those lines as the Doctor, nothing to do with Russell. For the
Oh,
first,
that's a
literally, this is the
makes
first
sense, I
time
guess.
Russ isn't writing it. So I'm dead excited for this next year. I'm not going to lie, boys.
I'm excited to
Yeah.
rewatch it, I think.
Yeah, I think for me, what's going to be interesting is to see what I actually think of Matt Smith.
Yeah.
Because we didn't really get a lot of Christopher Eccleston. We got a season, which is still good, but I'm just keen to know now because, we spent 3 seasons with the Doctor. I'm interested to see what I think of Matt Smith.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to jumping into it. But for now, we're at the end of the second Doctor that we've seen. End of time, JP, love it or hate it?
I'm gonna say love it still. I look for me the ending was the ending was a bit long. Could have been cut down a bit. There were a few bits and pieces that were a bit quirky, but I think for an overall ending for David Tennant's Doctor, I think it was pretty good.
Yeah. Bradley.
Love it, obviously. Perfect ending for the perfect doctor. Do agree that it could have been a bit shorter, but yeah. Perfect.
My guy fighting tooth and claw. Like literally just every minute of this podcast. Just no, it's the best one. But what
It's
about you, Josh? What about
not the
you?
best finale, but
I genuinely am, and not just to anger you boys, I'm going to say I hate it.
I don't think you can.
I probably will not watch this one again. This is probably my least rewatched episode of David Tennant. I think that's true. It just does not do
You'd
it for me.
rewatch Fear
Like,
Her before watching this.
okay, good point. But it's definitely in the top three.
Okay.
It
I
just
think you're
doesn't
just
do it
trying to
for me.
be
And it's
different
such a
yet
shame
again,
because I
but
love John Sim. I love Timothy Dalton. I love David Tennant. Oh man, it just doesn't do it for me. It really doesn't. But that's it. That is it. We've wrapped up not just David
yeah.
Tennant's Doctor. We've wrapped up Russell T Davies's era, RTD one of Doctor Who. Genuinely now, from this point on, I've gone from watching every episode hundreds of times. I know that's exaggerative, but genuinely countless amount of times I've watched every episode. This first series of Matt Smith in particular, I've probably only seen every episode maximum two or three times. Like,
I'd agree, yeah.
really, really don't know what we're really heading into. Certainly never looked at it, analytically. And I don't think I've ever done like this first series. I don't think I've ever done episode one all the way through. I think I've just dipped in and out here and there. So I am genuinely super excited for this.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I mean, for me, the biggest thing, I know you boys are, it's not obviously something that you've rewatched an awful lot. So you are kind of almost coming into this with like fresh eyes.
Yeah, pretty
But
much.
I mean, for me, the big thing is it's new Doctor. I'm just interested to see what he brings to the table, really.
New doctor, new writer. From memory, I remember there being an advert with Karen Gillan and Matt Smith, and she's floating outside the TARDIS and he's holding onto her ankle so she doesn't float away. I remember this being advertised as the fairy tale season of Doctor Who.
Yeah, we've seen that clip already.
Have you?
Spoiler. Yeah.
Oh, fair enough. There you go then. Yeah, keen to look into it. But for now, thank you for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the RTD one era. Thank you very much to Doctor Who Chronological for coming on. Let's see how many people stick around for the Matt Smith era. Let's see if we get any new listeners for the Matt Smith era. I think that will be a good judge of popularity. But that's pretty much for me. I'm gonna adios amigo there. Do you want to wrap up, boys?
Yeah, no, thank you so much, guys, for sticking around for another season. As we go to season five now. Yeah, we love all the love and support from you guys. If you do want to hear appear on the section of conversations with a companion, please do drop us a DM on Instagram, on Twitter, on TikTok, anything like that. Drop us an email, and we'll see if we can get you on. But thank you as always.
Adios amigos.